Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. So today is Rath Yatra, and that's why they have the junior varsity bench warmer giving class today, because everybody is at the Rath Yatra. And hopefully they have a wonderful time. And for those who stayed, I very much appreciate it, being here. Sometimes it's such a vast room, and we're so far away from everybody. We should all just sit in a nice little circle, but I know it's not too comfortable on the floor. But thank you for coming. So today we are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And before that, we will invoke the mercy of the Panchatattva. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda So we are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 23 Life's Ultimate Goal, text 69 through 71. And, okay, we will chant the first one. I'm going to break the class up a little, or the verses a little up a little bit. One verse is on one point, and then that second two verses or on another point. So we'll read the Bengali for the first verse and we'll see how it goes. Ananta Krishnera Guna Kaushati Pradhana Eka Eka Guna Shuni Judhaya Bhakta Kana Ananta Krishnera Guna Kaushati Pradhan Eka Eka Guna Shuni Judaya Bhaktakan Any better Bengali chanters? Chau. Chau-shati. Ananta Krishnera Guna Chau-shati Pradhana Eka Eka Guna Shuni Jadaya Judaya Ananta Krishnera Guna Chau-shati Eka Eka Guna Shuni Judaya Bhaktakan
Ananta Krishnera Guna Chaushati
Pradhan Ananta Krishnera Guna Chaushati Pradhan
Eka Eka Guna Shuni
Judaya Bhaktakan Thank you for pardoning my Bengali. My Sanskrit is even worse. Okay, I'll just read the word for word. Ananta, unlimited, Krishnera, of Lord Krishna, Guna, qualities, Chaushati, thank you for correcting, Chaushati, 64, Pradhana, chief ones, Eka Eka, one by one, Guna, qualities, Shuni, hearing, Judaya, satisfies, Bhaktakana, the ears of the devotees. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna are unlimited. Out of these, 64 are considered prominent. The ears of the devotees are satisfied simply by hearing all these qualities one after the other. And there is no purport. There's no purports to the others either. So, take a pause here. Om Agnata Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Minditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadavayam Dharati Svabhadantikam Namaste Girirajaya Shri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayane Vrindavani Vrinde Vishva Pujita Pushpa Saranandani Krishna Jivani Vishva Pavani Tulsi Vancha Kalpatirubhischa Kipasandubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanye Bhyo Vaishnami Bhum Namumma So this is a progression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. As just as a quick reminder, He's been in some chapters now. He's been setting up the ingredients and the moods and the understandings of Krishna for those who are eager to hear about him. And now we are beginning, and we just heard, I think, last week and the week before, we heard some very wonderful descriptions of Krishna and Radha and how they are so just attractive and fully potent figures in our Gaudiya Vaishnava understandings. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is shifting, and again, this exactly correlates to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, who must have heard it from Sanatan Goswami, just after Sanatan Goswami hearing it from Lord Chaitanya, and they wanted to write it down and they wanted to share it. So the correlation is now the qualities of Sri Krishna are going to be described. And if we look at this, it's such a wonderful verse. Krishna has unlimited qualities. Krishna has ananta guna, unlimited qualities. And so if we think about that, well, what does that mean? I mean, we don't even have the language, the capability of language, because we could say within the English language there is a finite set of words. But Krishna is unlimited. We don't have unlimited words, but there's unlimited ways to appreciate Krishna's qualities. So that would inherently mean that these cannot be fully described, because we're describing things, we're hearing things by words, by language, by the way we've learned, by the culture, and all these things. We are gaining knowledge, we are getting this, but some of this becomes experiential. And sometimes people will say, yeah, I'm at a loss for words for this experience I'm experiencing. And so that's how, again, I am, you know, we're just taking a drop from this unlimited ocean of nectar of Krishna's qualities, but we can understand that there is no way to fully give a class on Krishna's qualities or Krishna's attributes or Krishna's lila or Krishna's rupa, certainly. And so these are just to kind of whet the appetite of the bhakta to then make it, instead of just some academic or studious or even regular religious reading, we make it into an experience of experiencing Krishna's qualities. So ananta Krishna raguna koshati is a number, 64. Choshati, thank you. I got the look. Yes, I told you I'm not Bengali. And I'm on the junior varsity bench warmer, so don't expect much here. And Pradhan is the chief of the Choshati of the 64 are going to be described. And those we have in the nectar devotion as well. And then there's kind of a hidden meaning, you could say, to this next line, eka eka guna shuni judaya bhakta kana. One after another, eka eka, hearing them one after another, the devotee's ears are satisfied. So this is a statement, but it should also be an instruction that we could ask, raise your hand if you want your ears satisfied. And everyone will say, yes, I want to. So how do we satisfy the ears? We satisfy the ears, not just these orifices, these things that are sticking out of our head. Some of them are like sails and some of them are quite long. But They're not, it's not just a mechanical of sound vibration entering the ear very passively, but hearing means you're becoming absorbed in the hearing and you're very eager to hear. There's descriptions in Krishna book and Bhagavatam of how when Krishna's flute is being played, that the ears of the cows, they become like cups, and they're just catching, they're there to catch the nectar of the sound. So the devotees, although this is a statement saying, here's the effect of hearing about Krishna's qualities, but the instruction is, we should be hearing Krishna's qualities over and over, eka, eka, one by one, over and over. And I brought a little quote. I'm in a little study group, once a month we meet, and we brought up, there was a quote by Srila Prabhupada. He was giving a class in Mombasa, Kenya, and he was speaking about the processes of becoming purified and how we can purify even our most base qualities, you know, just our thirst for enjoyment, thirst for satisfaction of the senses. But he's saying, well, engage in the service of Krishna. And then he quotes a verse by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, Nishamya Karmani Gunya Tulyan Viryani Lila Tanubi Kritani Yadati Harshot Pulakashugad Gadam Prokanta Udgayati Roti Nirtyati. And then he says he's giving like a paraphrasing. And this way, as a devotee makes advancement in spiritual life, then simply by nishama karmane guna atulyan, simply by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and this is focusing on Krishna's pastimes, but we know that the pastimes are inspired to be heard by a process of three other things. First, we hear Krishna's name. We become attracted to Krishna. We hear about Krishna's form, his qualities. So here we're focusing on the qualities, but they're all interconnected and they all bring rise to the next. So here's the Leela, which we will eventually be brought to by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But what simply by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, immediately they will be filled up with ecstasy and they will cry. So again, this is an indication that it is not a passive activity, that just, okay, I'm going to do my duty, I'll sit in the Bhagavatam class, I'll let the words come in, you know, but I'm going to go home, I'm going to do my regular stuff. No, when we very intently hear and have that eagerness, eka eka, to hear again and again and again these about Krishna, then one will be filled with ecstasy and we will have a great emotion on hearing about Krishna, because Krishna will no longer be a concept of understanding, or the words of, you know, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all the teachings of the Goswamis, all the teachings of the Prabhupada, they become alive, they become real for us. And it will invoke more and more. These are the symptoms, he says. And he quotes the verse again. Viryan Leela. Oh, Krishna is killing so many demons. Krishna is dancing with gopis. Krishna is playing with his cowherd boys. Krishna is going there. This is Leela Smaranam. And then he says, well, what are our sources, us devotees in the Hare Krishna moment? The Krishna book, reading, means remembering all these activities of Krishna. Simply go on reading Krishna book repeatedly and you're in perfect stage of transcendental position. Simply read our nectar of devotion, Leela Atulyan. And then, as one becomes absorbed and one becomes starting to feel the emotion, then other emotions kind of take over almost automatically, or even without your beckoning them, you know, pulakashru, your hairs will stand on end, you'll shiver, you'll have all these different ecstasy. So this is all part of the process that we've been given. Hearing Krishna's names purifies the heart. Vicheto darpana marjam, we're purifying the heart. And then when we hear about Krishna and when we focus on Krishna, then all these other very important feelings of reawakening our relationship with him come to pass. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this, as is mentioned in other places as well, that and he gives an example of it's like a budding flower. We chant Krishna's name and we become purified, and then we see, oh, there's a relationship with Krishna. We have a relationship with Krishna, and we're cleaning that. We see it's like a bud of a flower. And as we hear about Krishna, Krishna's rupa, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's lila, it's like this flower is opening. And that's a metaphor for the heart is opening. The heart becomes open for Krishna. Because we're quite protected personalities generally. We protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. The material world is such a fearful, harsh, rough place. And it just seems to be getting harsher and rougher every day. So that we must protect ourselves. But we don't want to close the heart to Krishna, because Krishna, just by hearing about him, the devotee, the satisfaction, the word judhaya, one becomes satisfied. Because that's our whole predicament. We're not satisfied. We're never satisfied with one thing or another thing. We need yet another thing, and we'll need yet another thing, and it keeps going. But guna shunhi, hearing these qualities one by one, judaya, they satisfy. They bring great satisfaction to the devotees. And that's why, you know, we hear in other places that the kirtan ras, if one is in the kirtan ras, whether it be hearing about Krishna's names or hearing about his lila, hearing about his pastimes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if one dies in that situation, it's perfection. It's absolute perfection. Full satisfaction. And so then Krishnadas Kaviraj switches. So I don't know of any source whether or not these are composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj, or they are composed by Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami happened to have them and they shared them when he was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. But these next 6 to 10 verses are from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Following 6 verses are in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, enumerating on those 64 qualities. So today, text 70 and 71, we'll be looking at the first 13 of those 64. And I may say something about it, but I brought my nectar of devotion, and I thought we would, because again, there's no purports here, we could read these two verses and then kind of dive into them. And then I don't want it to just be an oration of a lecturer. You know, it would be nice to listen and then feel your appreciation. What is your appreciation? And be prepared to share if you would. So text 70, Ayam Neta Suramanyanga. Suramyanga. There's a correlation. I may bring that up. Sarvashalakshanavita Ruchiras Tejasa Yugo Yukto Balayan Vayasanvita. Translation. Krishna, the supreme hero, Neta, has the most beautiful transcendental body, Suramyanga. This body possesses all good features. So all the features, sarva la lakshana. It is radiant and very pleasing to the eyes. His body is powerful, strong, and youthful. Text 71. Vividhad bhuta bhashavit satya vakya priyambada va vadukha supandito buddhiman pratibandvita. Krishna is the linguist of all wonderful languages. He is a truthful and very pleasing speaker. He is expert in speaking, and he is very wise, learned, and he is a very wise, learned scholar and a genius. We have our concepts of genius, but Krishna is the genius. So these first 13 qualities of Krishna, and I wanted to bring something because it does correlate to the first one. I did bring another wonderful excerpt. This is from Rukmini. When she was writing a letter to Krishna, and this kind of ties into how the devotees are satisfied simply by hearing about Krishna's qualities. And so this is such a wonderful verse to learn, actually, and memorize. Shutvaguna bhuvana sundara shinvatam te nirvishya karna vivarar haraton gatapam rupam jisham jishimatam akhilarta labham tvaya chuta vishati chitram apaptrapame. Rukmini said this in a letter. O beauty of the worlds, the bhuvana, gunan bhuvana sundara, the most beautiful of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear. So, of those who hear. Who are those who hear? Those who have those who have ears. But again, it kind of ties in that it's not just a passive, but those who are, what was the same word is in there, shrinvatam. And what is shrinvata swatakata Krishna? What type of hearing is done in that verse? Eager hearing. Very eager to hear. Having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. So those who have ears, those who have eyes, the ultimate perfection of that is in Krishna. And therefore, what is she? Therefore, I fix my, it's very humble, I fix my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Very humble, like shame, my mind, if, you know, we hear the devotees will say, you know, if I had a loudspeaker to my mind, oh, I would be so shameful. People would know exactly what I'm thinking all the time. Boy, they would really trounce me. I would be so shameful, and I definitely have that type of a mind as well. But what happens when we engage those very same senses? Because the mind is directing. The mind is saying, "I want to see this, and I want to hear this." And we go and we act and we do those things and we see those things and we hear those things, we taste those things, we touch those things, again and again, all direction by the mind. But if we engage those very same senses, sevan mukhi jivado, you know, svayam eva sparatyada, if we engage those same senses in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then the attraction will start to be there. And this is evident. Just after the 90 chapters of speaking, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. They speak 90 chapters solely on Krishna, solely on these topics that we're attempting to hear and appreciate, to hear not only the pastimes, but hear of the qualities and how Krishna interacts with all the different varieties of devotees and non-devotees, and all of his mercy to the devotees and his mercy to the non-devotees. We're hearing 90 chapters of this. And Sukadeva Goswami, at the end, he says, he kind of gives an indication, why does Krishna even do this? Why does he come to the material world and do this? Because we've heard, and we'll hear in the next chapter, Krishna is Atmarama. He is fully self-satisfied. What has he got to come to the dirty material world for? That's for us to try to enjoy. Why does he come here? And he comes very specifically and very mercifully, and you could say, of all of Krishna's energies and all of Krishna's qualities, his quality of mercy is the greatest. Some will say that. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling this to Maharaj Parikshit, and he's given a somewhat a clue as to why he comes. Svamurtya loka lavanam. Lavanam, the same word, lavanyam samanga, lavanga, is the same. You know, this beauty, Krishna's beauty, is svamurtya, his bodily beauty, loka lavanam. There is no comparison in the loka, in any world. There is no comparison to his lavanga, to his beauty. Svamurtya loka lavanam. Nirmuktam lokanam nirnam. So here now he says there's no comparison to Krishna's beauty. And once one sees with his eyes, with her eyes, Krishna, that most beautiful person, nirmukha. Nirmukha means, in mukha we hear, you know, mukha means mouth, mukha means face, mukha has a number of meanings. But it doesn't say, nirmukta doesn't mean you no longer have a face, but you no longer turn your face to any other sight once you see Krishna. It's amazing. Nirmukta lokanam nirnam. You will no longer have any desire to see any other object. Giribis tam smaratam chittam. And when you hear Krishna's words or remember his words, you no longer want to hear any other topics. Padaistha nikshitam kriya, when you hear about his pada, how he's walking around in kriya and doing his different activities, you'll no longer be attracted to any other stories or, you know, things. Achidyam kirtam shushlokam vitaya hyanjasannuko tamo nyaya tarishyanti agatswam padamishwaram. So this is such a wonderful Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives some insight to this verse that Krishna, he becomes satisfied by knowing that he's done this. Now, done what? What has Krishna done? He's just come. He's become an object of sight. He's spoken words that become topics for hearing. And he's done some activities for being the topics of thought. He didn't like come with a plan. Okay, how do I make a nice organization or situation? Maybe if I get, you know, a few, you know, people here and there, and we make a nice, you know, board of directors and we do this. But he just comes to enjoy. He just comes and performs his activities. Padaistam ikshitam kriya. He just does his thing. He speaks his words. And it becomes so attractive. And then he becomes swamurtya. He becomes, agatswam padamishwam. He becomes satisfied. Because, and then this is the insight of the acharyas, because he knows in the future, in Kali Yuga, when there is so much other things to see, so many other things to hear, so many other things to engage our mind in thinking of activities and actions, he's provided these things for us to actually get something real, some real topic, some real value out of the using these very dull, very, you know, not great eyes. I think almost, you know, most of us are wearing glasses, ears, Marumati, you can tell us about ears, that they're not that great. And, you know, all the, and then our thoughts, the mind, the chittam, that, you know, every, I, at least Allah's test to my mind is a terrible thing. And so here's what we do. Here's what devotees do. They want to, again and again, as Prabhupada said in that you want to hear over and over Krishna book. We want to hear over and over nectar of instruction. So taking that cue, these first 13 qualities of Krishna, I thought we could read them. And the first, the bodily features. Any comparison of different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. This is, I believe it's Rupa Goswami, or maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti, that he's lamenting. He said, because as we advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. And, you know, we have so many promises of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, as you surrender to me, I reveal myself to you. I give you buddhi. I give you intelligence. I give you everything. I give you myself. So as these great exalted devotees, they are actually experiencing Krishna. And then they're lamenting, Krishna, I once compared you to like a dark cloud. But now that I'm experiencing you, I see how fallen short I was of that. And we, you know, for me at least, when I think Krishna is a dark cloud, you know, it's very difficult for me even, you know, when I do see a dark cloud, and we do get dark clouds, but then how do I see that as Krishna? It's Krishna's bodily effulgence. But then if you see a dark cloud and you see the flash of lightning, then you say, oh, okay, I get it. But it's just to give us a little push, but the devotees who are actually seeing Krishna, they're seeing, oh, yeah, that dark cloud, that's not exactly, it's just a comparison, it's just to help us. So all these comparisons of Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, lotus feet Krishna, these things are just comparisons to help us. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. So I don't know if anybody's been following the moon project now, whether it's true or not, but they're showing pictures, very close pictures of the moon, and yeah, it's not that beautiful. But when you see the moon on a full moon night in the sky, that's some beauty. It's a material comparison. His thighs are powerful, just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like two pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is just like a doorway. His hips are dens, D-E-N-S. And the middle of his body is a terrace. So these are, again, you know, okay, is this a description of the universal form? Every time I look at a terrace, is that Krishna's, you know, there's a terrace out here. Is that his middle of his body? But these are just indications. And then when we hear something like this, because there's the Swamurti, the verse is escaping me, but the devotee sees Krishna everywhere, whether in animate objects or inanimate objects, and he sees his murti there, his worshipable, most worshipable Ishtadeva murti. He sees their Ishtadeva in everything, either by their energies or by seeing them directly. And so devotees are prompted in this way, stavaram jaganam deki na deki tada murti. So whether something is animate or inanimate, the devotee doesn't exactly see the form, but he sees the energy of Krishna, their worshipable Lord, within that form. And so they're seeing Krishna everywhere. So so that was the first one. Are there any thoughts on that first quality of Krishna? Beautiful bodily features. And of course, we get experience to do this because Krishna's murti is right before us, and we see certainly beautiful bodily features. Yeah, Madhumati.
You know, I always used to think, there's so much description about Krishna's beauty, you know. If you see the gopis' prayers, there's so much about his beauty. And I used to have I couldn't understand that. Because in a material sense, we think bodily beauty is external. It's an external thing, and I would think, why is there so much description? Till one day I don't know if it's right or wrong, but at least for me it was satisfying. One day I realized that it's there because Krishna's beauty is non-different from him as a person. In other words, his beauty is absolute. And so when they're talking about his beauty, it's not like he has an external beauty and there's something. Like in a general, a person, we could see a person being very beautiful externally, but inside they could be totally different, you know.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's a gap there, but Krishna's beauty is absolute. And so when the gopis are praising or we hear about Krishna's beauty, is actually, he's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. External, yeah. Internal is, anyway, that helped me understand why there is so much talk about his beauty.
Yeah.
And so when you see the deity is dressed so beautifully, is Krishna's beauty, is his smile is just,
yeah,
his beauty, you know, it's decorated with his glance and his smile and, you know, his absolute, you know.
Yeah. And that beauty is reciprocal, and we hear about that you know, if you see a seer of Krishna's beauty, they, like a mirror, they become more beautiful. And when Krishna sees that, he becomes more beautiful. So there's this reciprocal beauty enhancement. It's not a cream or a salve or a balm. It's actual real relationship is expanding within the heart, like that flower example is expanding and expanding constantly. And Krishna is expanding, and he has no limit to what he can provide. And the devotee, as the purification in the heart blossoms, they have no limit to what they can see. Thank you. Yeah.
Prabhu, could you please read again verse 69? And I have a question, I guess, about 69 verse.
Okay.
Yeah, could you read it?
69? Oh, read it. The English?
After that, yeah. Yeah, English.
The transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna are unlimited. Out of these, 64 are considered prominent. The ears of the devotees are satisfied simply by hearing all these qualities one after another.
Yes, so about the question about the satisfaction, remember the verse when Rupa Goswami said, when I hear the Lord's holy name, I want millions of ears to hear. So it looks like Rupa Goswami, he's not satisfied with all this. Even more disturbed. How come that I have only 2 ears to hear? I need millions of ears. So it looks like when devotees hear about the qualities, he feels even more disturbed and unsatisfied.
Just Krishna, when I hear that. And then there's I think it's in the Stavamala, he actually expands upon that. And then he's not just millions, then it goes billions, and then it goes trillions. Then when I see, then I want billions of, it just goes, all of his senses that are experiencing Krishna, he just wants more because he can't get enough. So that's great. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. All right, let's go to the second auspicious characteristics. And this is a little longer, so I'm going to just read a portion of it. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, "My dear king of the cowherds, I can find 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I'm wondering how this boy could have taken his birth in your family of coward men." Generally, when the Lord appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriya kings, as did Ramchandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of a son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. So it goes on from there. So auspicious characteristics. So, you know, devotees, there's little pamphlets and things. We can see all the different marks of Krishna's feet, his hands, and Radha's feet, and Nityananda's feet, and Gauranga's feet. We see all these auspicious things, and they all have meaning. Each one has, like, meaning. I can't recall them all, but there are certain ones. I mean, like the fish, you would think, oh, fish, we don't eat fish. But why is there a fish on? But the fish is like the devotee who cannot live a moment out of water. And so similarly, the devotee cannot live a moment without Krishna. And so that's an auspicious thought in our mind, like, oh, because we're getting indication by Prabhupada's translations, we should hear all these, simply hear all these one after the other, again and again and again. And so we don't have the capacity, or we're hoping one day we'll think, boy, I wish I had some more ears. I wish I had. A lot of times we do start to think, I wish I had more time because we're so busy sometimes. Anything? Pleasing is number 3. And I won't try to match up to the Sanskrit. We'll just continue because we're getting close to the end. Beautiful bodily features which automatically attract the eyes are called ruchira, pleasing. Krishna possesses this attractive feature of ruchira in his personal features. In the third canto, second chapter, 13th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pleasing dress appeared at the scene of the sacrificial arena when King Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. All important personalities from different parts of the universe had been invited to the sacrificial arena, and all of them, upon beholding Krishna there, considered that the Creator had ended all of his craftsmanship in the creation of this particular body of Krishna. So this is kind of goes with his beauty, but it's like it's very pleasing, it's very attractive. Anyone have anything about that? I have two little things. One is that when we read the Kaliya Leela, that Kaliya, even though he was going with a very inimical nature toward Krishna, he did appreciate Krishna's beauty. He said, "Oh, who's in this, who's making this ruckus in my lake? And they, oh, it's very beautiful. But, he still attacked him, but he can't help but be pleased. And then I remember when I first went to India, I contracted both typhoid and malaria at the same time. And when I came home, I was admitted into the Boston General. And I didn't, I was in there for a few days, actually, and they were all very excited to have a tropical disease in Boston, But for me, it was like, and I just had a picture of Radha Gopi Balava, and it was a picture of like a Janmashtami celebration. And it was just a very small one, maybe it's whatever that size is. And this one nurse, every time she came in, she got to the point where she just sat on my bed, which as a brahmachari, this was unheard of, but she sat on my bed and she says, oh, que linda, que linda. She was Hispanic, obviously. So she said, how beautiful, how beautiful. So just no understanding who Krishna is, no understanding who this sick person is, but I'll take the risk and I'm going to sit and look at this picture. And every time she would come in, she would look at the picture. And so automatically, Krishna is very pleasing to the eyes. And there's other, examples of that, but any, okay. Just stop me. I like, yeah, Shesha Babu, yeah. Wonderful linguist.
Yes. Krishna's just blows my mind. Think about Krishna speaking and singing, especially when he was with the gopis. And who was the Shankasura? Came up to take the
gopis.
He started leading the gopis away from Krishna. But Krishna was singing at that time. And it just amazes me to think about God singing.
Mm.
I guess I'm maybe from a more stoic kind of background. I'm thinking of God. But Krishna speaking, singing. I mean, practically speaking, in this world, the most attractive thing is a speaker, a singer.
Mm.
Whether it's, it doesn't matter what kind of music they sing. But on top of them all, better than them all, more attractive than them all, are Krishna singing.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, he's also a great musician, and that will come later, Krishna's four very unique qualities that only Krishna has. And they're all called Madhurya. So Venu Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. These four are only Krishna's. Since we're talking about language and speaking, so I'll jump ahead, and we can jump ahead to whatever others you want to jump to, up to 13. I'm not going to take next week's class now. So he's a wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially the Sanskrit language, which is spoken in the cities of the demigods, as well as other worldly languages, including those of the animals, is called a wonderful linguist. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the languages of the animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise, "How wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the hearts of all the young girls of Brajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of Brajabhumi with the gopis While in Sanskrit, he speaks with the demigods, and in the language of the animals, he can even speak with the cows and buffalo. Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir province, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as in most common languages, Krishna is so expressive. She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages.
He can speak English.
Yeah, I guess he can. You know, well, that's the animal language. Yeah. Although yesterday we heard some very nice, wonderful correlations of Sanskrit to some of our English words. So. Any others you want to? We have strong, truthful, other youthful, pleasing talker. Maybe that's also probably part of it. Fluent in all languages, highly learned, highly intelligent, and a genius. Any requests on which one?
I was thinking back to pleasing.
Yeah.
I remember many years ago, one, I forget who it was, that they did a presentation here of all the, they had all the different deities around the world.
Mm, yeah.
And also, you know, Alacho is a pot with all devotees from all over the place, yeah? And so as different pictures of the deities were displayed, you could see different devotees would say, yeah, you know, because they had served those deities.
Yeah.
And so seeing the deities, even now, just a couple of days ago, somebody had sent me a photo of Radha Shad Bihari from Philadelphia, which I had served there. And I was thinking that the pleasing, or when we look at the deities or their beauty and all that is, there, because if there's a relationship,
yeah,
I think you had mentioned also
just
now about relationship with Krishna, or you know, so we have a relationship with the deities, or then we can actually appreciate their beauty, or at least their beauty, you know, the other qualities like linguistic, and I guess that's only we can appreciate by hearing the pastimes, not with our own personal experience, but otherwise the beauty certainly can be appreciated by.
Yeah.
Us having a relationship by it through service. Yeah.
Although we have Bhagavad Gita, the song of Krishna, of Bhagavan, and if we listen to it, not in an academic way, but we hear, oh, Krishna is saying, man mana bhava mad bhakto. He's asking. He's actually directly asking us in a song. In a way we can almost sing, man mana bhava mad bhakto, man yadi man mamaskaru. He could be singing that to us. And yeah, his word, oh yes, just worship me, just offer your obeisances to me. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, as we open up and we turn to that bird in the tree who's always there to direct us, and I heard somebody give an appreciation that no matter what I do, no matter what body I'm in, Krishna is so kind that he's right there with us, always, and he's always willing to help us remember and help us relate. Thank you. Stita D, do you want to hear about genius? You're our genius.
I don't know if it's on the list, but she's like the best therapist.
Well, we're only going up to 13, so it quite may. Well, he's highly intelligent, and he's a genius, so it's quite possible he knows how to geniusly give us a therapy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he talks to, you know, he works with.
Yeah. We got 5 more minutes. Any request on one of the 13 to read?
Yeah,
The 13 are, we read about his auspicious characteristics, his beauty, his pleasing, his, he has effulgence, strength, ever youthful, wonderful linguist, we read, truthful, pleasing talker, fluent in all language, highly learned, highly intelligent, and genius. Karnapur, what do you want to hear? Which one? One of you two. Which one do you want to hear?
It's not coming to me clearly, but this devotee, in the context of his pastime with Prabhupada, was talking about genius. So I don't remember the details. But he was getting into the linguist, the etymological roots. And it was something about this innate, and that's the best I can come up with. But it was interesting, whatever he was talking about was pretty interesting. It was in relation to Prabhupada. All right,
so I'll read the genius one. We'll hear what a real genius. A person is called a genius when they can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there is a statement in Padyavali, which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning, when Krishna came to Radha, Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vas at present?" The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yamin yamushita. Yaminya means at night, and ushita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yamin yamushita into two separate words, namely yaminya and mushita. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by Yamini, or the night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all of the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened this dearest of gopis. He is genius. So those are 13 qualities of Krishna. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.